The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. Welcome to Bicycle Talk. If you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment. We should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please feel free to reach out to me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Yeah, stepping up in the world, maybe. Playing with technology, it's always a scary thing. Okay, so Ron's Rants of the Week. Here we go. Let's start it off with a bang. Okay, so your right-hand man is leading the Grand Tour, and you attack. Yeah, folks, you've been watching the Vuelta? Hopefully you watched the Vuelta. The Vuelta was just amazing. It was truly amazing. I'll talk a little bit more about that attack later. I'll talk a little bit about the controversy that went on throughout the Vuelta this year because of that particular incident, and we will also talk about the new champion of the 2023 Vuelta. Fun stuff. And rest in peace, my longtime friend, employer, business competitor, and advocate for all things bicycle in northeastern Connecticut, Scott Taylor Johnson. May you ride forever with your rubber side down and the strongest tailwinds at your back. It was a good ride for Scotty, but after an 11-year battle, Scott passed away in his sleep about 3 weeks ago. Known to have introduced many into the world of cycling and also the cycling business, Scott was an icon in the Connecticut bicycle world. I was in attendance at his memorial service this past Saturday in his hometown of Hampton, Connecticut. It was actually kind of cool only because I got to see a lot of people that he had touched along the way, and a lot of old friends, and it was an interesting gathering. Scott would have loved it if he was there. Anyway, moving on. Sep Kuss. Remember last week I said Sep Kuss, week two, still looking pretty good in red, right? Well, an American in red. Can Sep Kuss win the Vuelta? The answer is yes, he can. Jumbo Visma has once again asserted its dominance in a Grand Tour. This is just amazing. Going to talk about it a fair amount today because I'm pretty excited still. And I've got a lot of comments to make on this. So many people have reached out to me. We've just been chatting back and forth. I'm going to miss on some things, I'm sure. But this was spectacular. Anyway, it's as positive gets. So we'll have more in the show when we get to the show today. And then my mechanical minute and cycling tip. I'm not usually an endorser of products, but I gotta tell you, let's see, reach over here, out of reach. I went into my local bike shop a couple of months ago, and I went in there to get some chain lube because I was out of chain lube, and my particular chain lube that I like, I like T9. I like the BoShield stuff. It's really good. Seems to work really well. Been a big fan of it over years, and I was convinced by the owner of the bike shop, who said, you know, you don't have to buy this, but I gotta just show this to you. And he cracked open a fresh bottle of this little tiny bottle of lube right here. I'll hold it up more in a little bit if you want to know what it is. And he said, it's really weird stuff. It's sort of, his comments exactly, it sort of looks like snot. And it sort of does. It's really bizarre lube. And then he said, you just put it on the chain, you wipe it around. He said, I put it on my mountain bike a month ago, and it just keeps going and going and going. He goes, I don't know what the deal is. It's supposed to be organic. It's supposed to be this. It's supposed to be that. But he said, it's just amazing. So I bumped into said bike shop owner at Scott's memorial service the other day, and I looked at him and I said, I gotta tell you, that lube, I don't know what is going on with that stuff, but I put it on 2 months ago and it's still there. I have not relubed my chain in 2 months. Okay, this is a little weird. I understand. It stays pretty wet. It definitely is a wet lube, and it will pick up grime off the road and sand and whatever basics you got there. But you can just wipe it down with a rag, and then it's clean again, and it just stays on the chain. It's called PrestaCycle 1 Liquid, and this is what it looks like for those of you. Oh, get my camera on there. That's what it looks like. I have no idea why. It claims to be USDA certified bio-based product, 42%. I don't know, but I gotta tell you something. I haven't had to lube my chain on my road bike for 2 months. And that right there, that's a statement. That's a statement. And all those creaks and all those talks I was giving about the creaking carbon bike and all that stuff for weeks had nothing to do with lube on the chain. Chain was always very good, very super quiet. Maybe that was part of it. The chain was so quiet, I picked up all the other noises. But anyway, this stuff is great. So my mechanical minute and cycling tip is PrestaCycle 1 Liquid Lube. Wow, weird stuff. Very weird. Not available everywhere. You got to poke around a little bit for it, but it's cool stuff. Anyway, let's get into the show because this is an exciting time. This is a really, really exciting time. I got so many comments from so many people. I have to pull up some things here. Of course, I've got a picture of Sepp and the boys on my my page here. This has just been the most amazing journey for an American cyclist that I have seen in years, if not ever. It's not the first American to win a Grand Tour. It's not the first American to win the Vuelta a España. Chris Horner did it 10 years ago. So this is not anything that is unusual in that respect, but it takes a long time for an American to win a Grand Tour because we're just not really that prominent in cycling in Europe until we are. And so anyway, there's just so many things to talk about here. Sepp Kuss, we can start out right there. And we can talk about the fact that I'm gonna put it in order of how it works. The first male rider to ride all three Grand Tours in a season and win the last one. So he rode for his teammates in the Giro. He rode for Primoz in the Giro. He rode for Jonas in the Tour de France. They both won both of those Grand Tours. And then he was going back to the Vuelta to ride for either one of those two who were the top picks from Jumbo Visma. And so that was his job. That's what he does. He's a domestique. He takes care of his riders. He basically does the work that needs to be done to make sure that they can get across the line before anybody else does. That's his job. They sent him out on a breakaway early. And this is classic grand bicycle racing practice. You send out one of your strong riders, kind of hangs out with the brake, make sure that nothing gets crazy out there. But he's out there for a couple of reasons. He's out there to kind of control that situation. And he's also out there just in case something happens behind him where all of a sudden one of your big GC riders is in trouble. Right? So your big GC rider is in trouble. We've seen this so many times. And what happens is that rider, and I think we watched either Wout van Aert or Primoz Roglic do this last year, and they give up the fact that they could win that stage, and they drift back, and they help out the the GC rider who was projected to win the whole thing because they're in trouble. So this is kind of a standard practice that happens. And so there he is, he's out there, and then all of a sudden there's just no activity in the peloton. Everybody's behaving themselves. Everything's settled in real nice. Primoz and Jonas are right next to one another. They're completely in control of the situation. And Sepp is sitting way off the front. And race radio says, go, take it, go for it. You know, stay out there. It's no problem. We don't have any threats back here. It's your win. It's your race to have. Well, he didn't win that one, but he did win another one. And when he did finish that one, he ended up in second place overall. So I've been talking about this for 3 weeks now, and it's just been an amazing, miraculous thing that has happened. And It was the Sepp Kuss show. So here he is. He's in second place. He's got the top three contenders, I will say, three contenders for the Vuelta de España behind him. Two of them are his teammates. And here we go. The show begins. It's the best story in cycling I've seen in years, maybe ever. Pretty cool stuff. So anyway, you got your first male rider to ride all three Grand Tours in a season and win the last one, because that is the end of the story. He ends up winning it. The first male rider to be part of three Grand Tour wins in a single season. Hey, Jumbo, you got a team? Woohoo, boy, they have a team. The second male rider to ride all three Grand Tours in a season and win one. Who wins one? Second one. The first one was, I've got him in my queue here. The first one was Gastone Nencini, and that was in 1957, and he won. He was ninth in the Vuelta, he was first in the Giro, and he was sixth in the Tour de France. So it's happened before, Italian rider, but not since 1957. All right. And he was the second American male rider to win La Vuelta, Chris Horner being number one. Hey, this is like, someone's going to write a book here. This is a good book. This is such a good book, because it's like, this is something that we can be like really, really proud of. We've got an American rider who's not a mob boss, who is, you know, doing really good things and sending really incredible messages. This guy is humble. This guy is a little shy, a little quiet. He just does his job. That's what he does. And everyone in the peloton loves this guy.
Aww.
He's one of those guys. And he married a woman from Barcelona, Spain. So the Spaniards love him because he speaks fluent Spanish. As a matter of fact, at the end of the race, he addressed the crowd after completely in Spanish and in Barcelona. You know, this guy is like, he's the wonder boy. He's the one that just, you're just really proud to have him kind of, you know, on your team and on your side. And you can tell in the Jumbo team that they all love him. They all love Sepp. Sepp's the guy who, like, he'll break his back for you. He'll do whatever he needs to do to get you across the line, because that's what he does. It's the type of man he is. And it was just so spectacular to watch this. The director of Jumbo Visma, Richard Plug, was quoted back at the Tour de France. Sepp is our mailman because he always delivers. He's a nice guy and he's always there when you ask him. He's really an example for all cyclists in America to go cycling, because this is what you can achieve. How about that for a statement? Pretty cool stuff, huh? And Team Jumbo Visma writes, Vuelta history with a unique trilogy. After Primo Roglic's victory and Giro d'Italia Jonas Vingegaard's victory in the Tour de France, Team Jumbo Visma has completed a unique trilogy with Sepp Kuss' final victory in the Vuelta España. For the first time in cycling history, the same team has won all three Grand Tours in the same season. Good stuff, huh? And he's a domestique. And I'm going to talk a little bit about domestique here in a little bit. I'm going to put away that picture because that was just too much fun. Well, there's all sorts of fun stuff here. Dom Danielson made it. He tweeted. Tom tweeted a thing. Oh, God. I wish I could find it here. I just had it recently. Okay, here it is. Here it is. So Tom Danielson tweets, I'm not crying. You're crying. And after that, he goes, right after that, it says, okay, I'm crying. Let's all cry together. And that's exactly what happened. I'm sitting here, and Fran didn't even know. She was over in the other room, and I got the Vuelta on, and I'm watching the end of the Vuelta. And it's like they're going through all the ceremonies, and the three of them ride in together into Barcelona after a ridiculously hard stage for the last stage. I don't get these guys. Anyway, and there's Primoz and Jonas, and they're holding on to Sepp, and they're pointing to him. They're on each side of him, and they're pointing to him. And there's just these huge grins on their faces, and it's like, it's very moving, very, very moving. And then I've got all this stuff, and, you know, Billy called me this morning. Hey, Billy, if you're watching, I'm sure you are.
He is.
Billy's on. Yeah. So Billy called this morning, and I said, Billy, wait, I got to start writing some of this stuff down, because there were some moments that are worth reflecting on, and Billy's reminding me of them. And one is, at the end of this whole thing, and I've actually got it on, there's a video out of it now, of course. There's going to be tons of stuff like this. You know, they do the champagne bottle thing, and they flip the corks, and they, you know, spray the crowd and do all that. Well, at the very end, they took number one, number two, and number three. So three champagne bottles come up to the podium. And they had the corks popped. And, of course, they start shaking the bottles. All three of them start shaking the bottles because they're going to spray the crowd. No, they got into a champagne fight. And they were spraying each other like fire hoses back and forth. And they're getting in their eyes. And it was just like, it was crazy. But it was like, there's so much pressure and so much riding on these big grand bicycle tours, and it was like, it's over, let's have some fun. And they totally did. And then they all took the big chug out of the bottle. Not quite the same big chug that Sepp took earlier in this race, which I don't think anyone has matched to this moment. Even another rider attempted to do it later on, as he saw the technique that you use to gulp down the champagne bottle, which is you make sure you pour the foam off the top before you do it, after you've shook it and sprayed. And so Sepp somehow had that down, and he just like held that bottle up and glugged and glugged and glugged forever. And Bob Roll is commentating on it, and he's counting the number of gulps that are going down.
Okay.
It was really funny. It was very, very funny. Because Sepp is like, he's a character. One of my favorite character things is, well, there's a few of them here. So we're gonna go back to this. And we're going to go back to the Angrillo. I got that wrong. Anyway, big, nasty, unbelievable stage. Horrible mountain climbs. Steep, ugly, the whole thing. And off go the boys. So Primoz and Jonas take off, and Sepp is trying to stay with them, but it's obvious he's just not going to stay with them. This is where the whole controversy started with all sorts of stuff. It was overheard on race radio, according to the rumors, that Sepp said, go boys, like, you got this. Like, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to lose the possibility of winning this race, but you guys should go. You should go now. And they did. And that's where things got sketchy and things got a little weird. And there was a lot of controversy. Oh my God, the internet lit up. It was, there were so many comments about how can this happen? And, you know, I made a comment today. I said, how can you, you know, do that to your right-hand man, the guy who's basically helped you win a major grand tour and helped both of you win major grand tours this year, and then you're going to leave him out there? You know, it was bad, and apparently there was a big team meeting, and the big team meeting resulted in we're riding for Sepp now, and that's what's going to happen.
That's crazy.
And it was deep, deep, deep into it. 18th, stage 18, somewhere around there. And so, yeah, the Spaniards went nuts. They just went crazy. It was their race. It's their race, and they went nuts. And they said, no, 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 you do not attack Sepp Kuss. Sepp Kuss is our guy. This guy is, you know, he's part of their community. He's part of their society. He's in the spotlight. He's in the public. They all know him. He talks to them in their language. Hello. You know, this is just,
hola.
This is not the guy you screw around with. And so it got a lot of heat. There's no question about it. It got a whole lot of heat. And the eventual outcome was that they rode for Sepp. And even on one of the last stages when things got real tough, it was Sepp that went charging off the front. And I think that Jonas was behind him a little bit, but they kind of, you know, it was his race to win. There's no question about it. And then there was the apology to Mark Solar for passing him for the points at the very end so that he could retain those points so he could hold on to the red jersey. And what does he do? And Solar, he looked at him kind of funny, and they you could see they were having a weird interchange, and he went sprinting by him at the end. And he went over to him afterwards and apologized to him for what he did, because he needed the points more than Mark Solar needed them. So he, you know, and he took the points because that kept him in the red jersey. And it may have made it so he lost the red jersey, but that's what he did. So, you know, this is the kind of guy we got here. And apparently Solar was very, oh, don't worry about it. No big deal. I completely understand. He wasn't in contention, so it wasn't really a big deal. And on and on. And Christian and Bob, who were commentating this thing, they were just, they just couldn't stop talking about it at the end. They couldn't stop talking about what a wonderful race it was. And they had not seen a better tour ever in their history of commentating for, you know, different major race events like this. It was just, everyone was just completely moved by this. One of my other favorite things, though, and this clarifies a little bit of the Jonas Vingegaard issue, okay? He was coming in, he won that stage that put his time so much closer to Sepp, which made everybody get a little nervous about it. But I'm watching him, and this guy is, I'm thinking, man, he is in pain doing this. You can see it. You can see it in his face. He was crying, but he wasn't crying. This is clarified by Billy this morning. He wasn't crying because he was in pain. He was crying because he won the stage on his daughter's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Cool stuff, huh? And then to see him after the whole thing is over, and they're all hanging out by the team trailer or the team bus or whatever it is, and they're all hanging out there, and there's Jonas with his daughter, and he's got, they zoomed in on him, and, you know, everybody's interacting with everyone else, but he's there just like talking to his daughter and, you know, making faces and just, oh man, these guys are the real deal. I'm telling you, they are the real deal. And everyone is hugging everyone. It's just like, it was just a sweetheart dream come true. It was a Cinderella story. It's truly what it was. And it was just so, so much fun to watch. So much fun to be a part of this and check it all out. Because I'm just enamored by it. So then, I don't know, stage 18, 19, can't remember what it was. Tough stage. It was one of these things where they just, you know, they were working super hard all day. And Sepp's wife would see him at the end of the races. His mother eventually flew over from Durango to watch the end of the race. And Sepp's wife would greet him at the end of the race, and they'd get a big hug and a kiss and all that. And Sepp looks at her and said, "Did you have a fun day?" I mean, this is what he's concerned about. Did you have a fun day? I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. He's just got this attitude, which is, yeah, I'm winning the race, but that's not really important. What's really important? Did you have a fun day? How about that? Good stuff. Things to be learned here, folks. Things to be learned. And then at the end, they're sitting down to drink. They got beer going, and he made some sort of a comment about diet beer.
What?
Yeah, light beer, diet beer. Let's get a real, you know, he wanted a real beer. He's from Durango. He wants a real beer. So anyway, what do we have here? Diet beer? Question mark. That's what it was. So anyway, just lots of fun stuff that happened during this whole Vuelta a España. Big shout out to Sepp Kuss. We love you, man. You made my year. You really did. This was a big deal. And you know, this really reinforces the fact that, you know, if you're a youngster out there and you are thinking about or aspiring to be a bike racer, and your parents maybe are thinking about getting you involved in bike racing, this is why you do it right here. This is why you do it. You do it because you might have a chance to be a domestique on a major squad over in Europe someday. And that may become something even better someday, or it may not. But to be on a team like this, even as a domestique, and to be able to experience this is life-changing stuff. This is big, big deal stuff. So, yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's dangerous. Yeah, it's probably one of the craziest sports you'll ever put your kid into, but think about this. There's a lot of good stuff that goes around. This reflects me back to my surgeon who worked on my heart a couple of years ago. And when I was sitting in my room, he came in and he saw me watching the Giro on my laptop computer.
Right, because it was early spring.
The day before, yeah, it was early spring. It was the day before my surgery.
Right.
And I'm about to have my chest cracked open. And this guy comes in and he looks over and he goes, "Is that European bike racing you're watching?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, it is." I said, "It's day two of the Giro d'Italia, the Tour of Italy." And he looked at me and he said, "I fell in love with European bike racing 17 years ago." And so now I see this as, oh, hey, so you ride, right? No, he doesn't ride a bike. He doesn't ride a bike, but he loves the sport. And the reason he told me he loved the sport was because of what happened in this Vuelta a España. The camaraderie, the passion and the love of cycling and the way that everybody works together to make things happen, this is what turned him on to cycling. Not big egos, not big, you know, money, not any of that. It was the passion and love that the cyclists have for the sport. Good stuff, man. That's a good story. So big shout out to Dr. Hammond for being a lover of cycling. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see this. And hey, things are real good right now. Whew, boy, I'm strong. I feel good. You did a good job. Anyway, let's go back a little bit here. And I got a few notes here on my on my list here, and let's see what we can come up with here. So, we had Primož Roglič win the Giro d'Italia. Jonas Vingegaard wins the Tour de France, and now it's Sepp Kuss to take the final. This is like the most outstanding year in pro cycling that I can remember. We've had some other years that were pretty memorable for sure, but after the eighth stage, Kuss was part of this year's winning teams in Italy and France, took the leader jersey, and he never relinquished it for the rest of the Spanish race. Now, that's 21 races, and he took it on number 8, and he took it as a domestique. We're going to talk about domestiques here in a little bit. I'm going to get into that a little bit deeper into the show if I have time for that, and I think I will. I can't really see my timer over there, Fran. How am I doing? So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that then. But this is just the most
you have an hour.
Amazing thing. Yes, I thought it was 30, not 50. I got a little spaced. Anyway, this is like a fairy tale. With Primož winning in Italy, Jonas winning in France earlier this year, this is Sepp Kuss talking. I wanted to be part of this team chasing the overall victory in the Vuelta. Standing here as the overall winner is something I could never have imagined in my wildest dreams. Because that was not what he was there for. That wasn't his job. And that's when Team Jumbo-Visma CEO Richard Plugge was equally pleased with the team's performance. This is phenomenal. The fact that we're also first, second, and third on the podium makes it truly exceptional. We came here to achieve our big goal of winning all three Grand Tours in one season. We won this race as a team. We did it the way we did it makes it even better. Sepp's success over two super champions like Jonas and Primož demonstrates our values. Winning together is not only our slogan, but also our trademark. Sepp says, it will take a while for this to sink in, struggling to find the words to describe his triumph. At some point, I felt it was possible. I was getting stronger and more confident every day. When you add that to the team's strength, you can take on the whole world. I have grown wings in the last few weeks. I am eternally grateful to Jonas and Primož and for the others for their support. This is an achievement I will remember for the rest of my life. The same goes for the support of the fans from all over the world. From the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank everyone who has contributed to this success story. Together, we have made history.
Aww.
How about that?
That's nice.
How about that? How can you not like this guy? How can you not like this guy? He's just amazing. Like he brought tears to Tom Danielson's eyes. Hello. Hi, Tom, if you're listening.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah, I'm not crying, you're crying. All right, we're all crying. That's just the best. I love that. It's just one of the most moving events I have watched in years. And, you know, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people focus on the Tour de France. The Tour de France is the big winner of all of the press, of all of the attention. And I have said, if you've been listening to my podcast over the years, my radio show over the years, you have heard me say, the Tour de France is pretty good. Yeah, I understand why I understand the hype. I understand why everybody loves to watch the Tour de France. They do a bang-up job of it. They really, really do. But my favorite tours are the Giro and the Vuelta. The Giro, because it's in the spring, and the springtime is early season. Fitness of riders is sketchy at times, depends on what you've got, you know, logged into the saddle, how many hours you have, how your training's going. And it's the Giro, so it's in Italy, and you could be riding in a snowstorm because it's still cold there at times. When you get up into the Alps, when you get up into the really big mountains, there could be snow. It's how many times have you seen a stage canceled because, or not canceled but changed because the road was blocked because there's too much snow. I mean, that's the Giro. And the Giro was always famous for the really steep, nasty climbs, and until of late, when it seems like all the Grand Tours are starting to now put that in, because these riders are all like riding at another level. They're just amazing. The Vuelta was always, it was the cooker. It was the hot race. It was the one that you go to Spain at this time of year and you're going to be dealing with a lot of heat. And that's really going to be a problem. And, you know, these guys are, they heat stroke out. They have lots of problems because of the heat, lots of cramps, all that. Didn't really happen this year. It was, you know, they had a few hot days, but it wasn't like it had been traditionally. And I guess this is our climate change show that we're having here today. But things are things were a little bit different, so that changed things a little bit. And like every bike race, you know, anything can happen. So here it was. We had a little bit different conditions, and because of that, we had riders that were, you know, protected from the elements that were. So there we have it. That made a really, really big difference. I'm just totally blown away still by the results of this race. And I'm going to watch again. I'm going to make Fran sit and watch the end of the race and the camaraderie and all the, and the awards and all the fun stuff that happened afterwards, because it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. It's something everyone should see. If you get a chance, I'm sure there's YouTube highlights out there. If you haven't seen anything yet, you definitely want to check it out, because the after party was certainly well worth the experience of watching it. Let's talk about domestiques, all right? Domestiques. So the domestique, I went right to Wikipedia on this one, because they, you know, they got a pretty good explanation of how this works. In road racing, a domestique is a rider who works for the benefit of their team and leader, rather than trying to win the race. In French, domestique translates as servant. The use of the term dates back to 1911, although such riders had existed before then. Much of the rider's cyclist's effort is to push aside the air in front of them. Riding in the slipstream of another rider is easier than taking the lead. The difference increases with speed. Racers have known this form from the start and have ridden accordingly, opening often sharing the lead between them. From there, there's a small slip to employ the rider to create a slipstream while the leader rides behind them. So it's called a pace line, generally speaking. And what riders do is they take turns at the front and they rotate through. And they usually rotate through anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds, depending on what pace they're trying to hold. And as they do that, they're each taking a little micro pull, basically. They're taking a pretty heavy exertion, but there's a real talent to not pulling too hard, because you don't want to break it apart. So you really learn how to ride with one another when you're in a breakaway like that, or even when you're up in the front of the peloton trying to control the pace. You'll see these big pelotons going down the road, and it's like a train going down the road, and the lead team, once you have the lead jersey, tends to spend a lot of time up in the front of the peloton for the rest of the race. Jumbo got to spend, 8 days, so 13 days up in the front and trying to control that race for a very, very long time. That requires a tremendous amount of talent and effort. It is not an easy thing to do. So anyway, so many domestiques have ultimately gone to achieve fame of their own. There was Lucien Amer, who supported Jacques Anquetil and won the 1996 Tour de France. Greg LeMond won the 1986 Tour de France after beating Bernard Hinault's Domestique in the 1985 Tour de France. And Jan Ehrlich in 1997, after riding for Bjarne Riis in 1996. Chris Froome in 2013, after riding for Bradley Wiggins. Jonas Vingegaard, who scored second place in the Tour in 2021 before ultimately going on to win in 2022 and 2023 after being Domestique for Primoz Roglic in 2020. And there you have it. Yeah, some very, very famous names out there. And they started out being what Sepp Kuss has been doing for a long time. So it's really an interesting thing. What you'll see a Domestique do is you'll not only see them making these horribly difficult, aggressive pulls and attacks off the front, and, you know, or pulls to bring their rider back up in as the rider is slipping off on a major climb. They you'll also see them slipping back to the team car and filling their jerseys with water bottles, tucking them down their back, down the front, in their pockets, and carrying these bottles up and handing them out to all of the team members, or maybe even handing out food that they might have had in small packages and handing them out to team members. The Domestique's job is to take care of all the others, and that is what Sepp Kuss has been doing, and that was what was expected of him. And surprise, it happened. So really, really cool thing. I just, to see a guy like this get this kind of attention and recognition for what he did, for everything he has done, it's just spectacular. It really is. Sepp Kuss was born the 13th of September 1994. He's an American professional cyclist from Durango, Colorado. He rides for the Jumbo Lotto World Team. He's a very talented climber. He won the 2023 Vuelta in España, the first American to do so since Chris Horner in 2013. He's also won individual stages of the Tour de France and the Vuelta a España. So he started out in a mountain bike racing as a junior and as a student at the University of Colorado Boulder, where he won three national titles at the collegiate championships in cross-country mountain bike racing, 2014 and 2015, and short track in 2014. His cycling ambitions at the time were to take cycling as far as he could after finishing his degree. When asked one person he could sit with and have lunch with, he answered, love this one, Fran, Peter Sagan. Because Peter's a character. Oh, Peter's like, he's got a personality. He's an interesting guy. He wants to sit and have lunch with Peter Sagan. Sepp, I hope you get a chance to have lunch with Peter Sagan. That would be a really, really sweet thing. That would be so cool. Kuss began the 2016 season racing for amateur Gateway Harley Davidson Trek team. His first win was on the summit in the finish stage of the Redlands Bicycle Classic. That's a big one out west here. Kuss finished fourth in the Mongolian stage at the Tour de Gila in a UCI 2.2 stage race. He rode with Rally Cycling in the latter part of 2016 and during 2017 before joining Lotto Jumbo initially on a two-year contract. Boy, I bet they kept this guy. He won three stages in the general classification of the 2018 Tour of Utah. He rode in the 2018 Vuelta a España and the 2019 Giro Italia before getting his first Grand Tour stage win in stage 15 of the 2019 Vuelta a España. launching a solo attack from the day's breakaway with 7 kilometers to go and supporting his team leader, Primož Roglič, who won the overall classification. He finished 15th overall in the 2020 Tour de France while again riding in support of Roglič. This was also the highest overall placing of an American since Andrew Tolinski in 2015. He again supported Roglic's winning ride in 2020 in the Vuelta a España, and in 2021 he won stage 15 of the Tour de France after breaking away with 5K to go in the final climb of the day. From a group that contained 32 riders, he was able to maintain his lead ahead of Spaniard Alejandro Valverde in the 15 kilometers that followed the pass. With his win, Kuss became the first American to win a stage in the Tour de France since Tyler Ferrara, who won stage 3 in 2011. This is like the story of this guy is just amazing. He was a collegiate mountain bike racer. It's not too late, folks. You know, I mean, I look at that and I see him as a, kind of a, you know, late bloomer. You know, really, when you look at cycling, and the people that get into real, real serious sport, they start very, very, very young, especially over in Europe. They really start young with them. And, you know, to be able to come out at in your college years and decide that, you know, you got to race mountain bikes, see what you can do with it, and do what he did in the last few days. Wow. Good, good stuff. So, he's got a lot of talent. There's no question about it. We've got some other talented riders coming up, I'm sure. And I'm sure we will start seeing some of those talented riders too soon. We have a great junior development program here in Connecticut. And it's the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program is just brilliant for bringing young riders to the sport and teaching them how to do it and how to do it right. And, you know, I'm kind of expecting one of these days to start, you know, seeing some people from around New England again start popping up and in. We've got Lizzie out there. She's doing really well right now. We've got some amazing riders. And hopefully we'll see a few more Americans in the sport now that SEP has, well, they've gotten the, what do you call it, Fran? The SEP Kuss bump. They got the bump.
Oh.
Right? And, you know, we'll see where it goes. See where it goes. I find it extremely exciting. And it was just a spectacular day. I gotta say some words about Remco Evenepoel. You know, a little too late is where he fell in. He had a really, really bad race earlier in the Vuelta, and it kind of knocked him way back. But boy, this guy, can he attack? Oh my God. He won the King of the Mountains. He was spectacular. His climbing was spectacular. He really kind of belonged up there with them. But, you know, mistakes happen, things happen. Fate is a tough thing. Crashing happens. There's all sorts of things that can happen, and that's where he ended up. But he did end up showing us that he's still got the talent that's required to be a Grand Tour rider, and we're not seeing the last of him. He's around for a while. He's just an amazing, amazing rider. So I have to give that shout out there to him because I was very, very impressed with him. And his solo breakaway for stage 18, just intense. And he, you know, at that time, he was so far back, it didn't really matter. So Jumbo could kind of keep control of the rest of the race and sort of let him go without any major, major problem. But, you know, he just did amazing things on his bicycle. Lots of talent. And seemed fairly good about the whole thing, you know, about getting, he got the polka dot jersey. The polka dot jersey is blue in the Vuelta a España, not red, not red dots, blue dots. And, but it's the same idea. It's the same recognition. And I don't think anybody was very close to him, really. So that was a cool thing to do. He won a couple of stages. I mean, he really, really did a great job. So big shout out to Remco Evenepoel. He just really, he certainly made the race exciting and interesting and fun to watch. For the fans must have all loved that. It was just such a spectacular race to watch. Stage 21, it didn't end at the end. I mean, it was like, you know, stage 21 is going to be, it's the parade. It's like the Champs-Élysées parade. You know, they all ride into Paris and they're drinking champagne. And then the sprinters put their heads down and put on a big show and big sprint at the end. And it was the same thing, except it was a breakaway. And the breakaway was staying away. And it wasn't very far away. But who did it have in it? Remco Evenepoel. Yeah, yeah. And it also had Caden Groves, and who is a great, great talent. And Groves was in the breakaway, and then the pack caught him, and then Evenepoel said, "Nope, I'm not going to let this happen." And he literally launched off the front of the peloton with no time left in the race. And no, God knows he had no legs. He couldn't have had any legs left at all. But he just launched, and Groves saw it happen and stayed on it and ended up taking him for the win. And so they got 1-2. It was just really a very, very exciting race. It was a really exciting race to watch. Lots of good stuff. So if you have not had a chance to watch the Vuelta a España, you should go back and at least check out some of the highlights, because there's lots of highlights out there and certainly a ton of things for you to watch. So it's all just great, great stuff. I think that the Vuelta might go down as, well, it definitely goes down as my favorite race this year, for sure. It was just really... Yeah, I got 10 on. Yeah. So it's, you know, it just, there were everything you would want to see in a bike race, you could see in this race. Right on down to the point where, you know, this race was going to get lost big time in the time trial. The time trial was destined to take 2 minutes off of Sepp Kuss, until it didn't. And it didn't because, you know, the power of red. They say the power of red, the power of pink, the power of yellow. The power of that leader's jersey somehow gets into your brain and gets into your consciousness, and you want to keep it. You just want to keep it. And no one showed that better than Sepp Kuss this year. The interesting comments that were made afterwards, because, of course, he lost some time. He's not known for being a time trial guy. He's known for being a climber. He's known for being a domestique. He's not normally starting where he started. And his comment was really funny. And the comment was, "I'm just really not used to not having anybody pass me." Because he started last. When you're in the leader's jersey, you start last. So instead of starting somewhere in the middle, or maybe, you know, 10 riders to go or whatever place he's in, he's in the back. So there's nobody to chase him. There's no one to pass him. And there's no one. And I'm going to point this out. When you're in a race like this and someone passes you, there's a mental aspect to that. And it's the, they passed me. I'm going to slow down now. It happens. It just happens. So he never really had that happen in the time trial. Therefore, he kept his speed up in the time trial. Plus, he's got race radio screaming in his ear, "Go, go, go, man. You're holding this. Go. You've got this. You've got the red jersey." And they're just screaming at him. And his teammate is winning the time trial. And, you know, it's just like, it was just, there's just so many wonderful, wonderful moments. I hope Remember, there was a great documentary that was done about the 2022 Tour de France that was just on, what's that, on Netflix? Or I can't remember where that was. But no, it might have been HBO even. I can't remember. But it was recent. It was this year. And I just really hope that they put together a story about this, because this is bike racing. This is what it is. This is what it's all about. This is why I get crazy about it. This is why I'm passionate about it. Yeah, I don't race anymore. I still put on a race, but I don't race anymore. But, you know, I just love it. I just love the sport. I love everything about it. It's not like every other sport out there. Ah, that's it. I think I'm out of breath. I can't say any more about it. I got to move on to something else here. What have I got on my list here? Oh my God, I have all this extra stuff I was going to talk about with Sepp. But, you know, Sepp Kuss's leadership controversy sours Jumbo Visma's Grand Tour sweep. Tactical trauma and PR problems taint history-making Grand Tour sweep and could cause trouble for some time. This is what was going on. This is what was going on during the race. It was like, what are you guys doing? Why are you attacking me? I'm winning the race. I saved your butts so many times and helped you so many times. And, you know, it got a little sketchy there for a while. But they, you know, they sat down, had a team meeting, got it together. And the result is right there. Could Primoz have won this race? Possibly. He could have won this race. Could he have done it without the help of Sepp Kuss? Maybe not. Maybe not. You gotta have your team in order. And they were in order. And, you know, these three guys just sat together in the whole race. They sent the other domestiques out to do the hard work. And, you know, it's a team, man. It's the best team I have seen in cycling in my existence. It was amazing, amazing to watch. So, anyway, what do we got here? We got a little bit of other things to talk about here. That one we're going to move on. I'm just going to put a short thing for advocacy in here because it's out there. I gotta mention it. It comes from Streets Blog, and it's a study that says some paint-only bike lanes may increase crashes. Sheros and paint don't make anyone feel safe, but they're really... Are they really worse than nothing at all? Well, that's a really good question. And I know my friend Tony said that sheros were the toilet paper of bicycle safety. I tend to agree with him because I don't think cars see sheros. I don't think they pay any attention to anything like that. I know they don't. I've got a speed limit sign up in stores that I ride by all the time that says speed limit 30 miles per hour. Your speed with the big radar on it. And consistently when drivers drive by me on that stretch of road, which is Route 275 in Storrs, just they're down from the community speeding. Center, they're going 45. And so I have taken to being obnoxious about it because why not? You know, I mean, they're doing something wrong, I'm doing something right, I'm going to be obnoxious. It's a very wide shoulder. I'm in the shoulder. I'm well protected, kind of. I don't think find shoulders protective. But I, when they go by, I take my left hand off the handlebar and I wave my hand up and down, up and down, up and down to indicate to them that maybe they should slow down. And while I'm doing that, my right hand is off the handlebars and I'm pointing to the speed limit sign where they are exceeding the speed limit. 9 times out of 10, I hear the vehicle slow down. You know, so that's the good news. The bad news is they're still speeding. They're still speeding in a place where there are lots of pedestrians, there are lots of cyclists, and a pedestrian was killed there 2 years ago.
Do they ever demonstrate their IQ to you?
Drivers have a tendency to demonstrate their IQ on a fairly regular basis. So, yeah, I see the IQ salute quite often. But, you know, I just don't care anymore. My purpose in life now is to educate. And I'm not going to get in a fight over it. I'm not going to get myself in trouble over it. But I know ways of protecting myself. Ignorance is curable. stupidity is unfortunate. You heard it here, probably not first, probably not last. I've repeated this a few times. But paint only bike lanes. Maybe I'll get in a little more detail about this next week, because we're just completely running out of time here, because I got all sepkus today. But we're gonna move forward on this. So let's talk about some events here. On September 23rd, there is the Quiet Corner Mountain Biking Group will be hosting a fun ride at the Pomfret Forest, located in Pomfret, Connecticut. There's great Facebook posts. There's a video on there. You should see all the cool stuff they built out there. If you're a mountain bike person, you will love this event. It's a really good thing. And the bicycle game on the early history of bicycles in Hartford, still going on. And the September 30th Rotary in Motion ride and event, which is a free event. We had a guest on last week about that. And the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross is October 15th at Mansfield Hollow. So the finishing points, don't forget about any of these things that I just told you about. I'm watching my clock very carefully and cautiously. Remember, I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day. Park that car, truck. Ride your bike instead. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this show. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. We talk about bicycles, bicycling, and everything that has to do with it. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.